There are some important distinctives of healthy friendships. Here's author and speaker Kelly Needham.
Friendships are not entirely meant to be just pragmatic. Our joy in Christ is multiplied when it is shared. Shared joys are the best joys. We're coming together to enjoy all of God's good gifts, but Him primarily.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Swalgamuth, author of Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together, for August 30th, 2019.
Well, I'm happy to welcome again to the studio today my friend, Kelly Needham, who is a friendship expert. Is that what you are?
Well, some people jokingly will say that, but I don't think I am. But I love friendship, and I love, you know, fostering good friendships in my life and others. So
you're a proponent of friendship. You're a champion for friendship. And you're also, you've issued some warnings that we need to hear in our culture about how friendships can become false gods in our lives. Mm-hmm. So you're giving some warning signals while also encouraging us to have healthy and godly friendships. I'm thankful to have you as a friend. Mm. I'm thankful for the, at a distance, the relationship the Lord has allowed us to enjoy as we encourage each other, as we have sent emails to each other about, you sent me an email. I don't even know if I ever thanked you for this, but some months ago, you were with us at a True Woman conference and you said, here's some things I've been thinking about after the conference, some things I saw and I wonder if, and even about my role, and it was really helpful. Positive, constructive. That's a friend that will have those kinds of conversations. Speaking of the True Woman Conference, you're going to be with us just around the corner at Revive 19 as part of the speakers, our friends. We're a friend group, not to be exclusive, but we enjoy each other's company. We love the same things. We love Christ. Mm-hmm. We love His Word, and we're going to be ministering as a group of friends. So let me just say it's not too late to sign up a group to participate in the live stream of that conference as we talk about seeking Him. Together as friends, we're seeking the Lord. You're a wife. Your husband is Jimmy. He's sitting across the other side of the glass there waving, cheering for us today. And you all live in Texas. You have three precious little children. Mm-hmm. You're going to be at our home for dinner tonight. Robert and I are really excited about that.
Yes.
And someone else is bringing the soup. Let me just say that because we got a long day here at the office. But I'm thankful to be able to do some level of life with you. And I'm thankful for this book you've written on friendship gone awry. That's not the title. The book title is Friendish. It's friendship, but with some concerns that you're seeing in the culture and in friendships, even among believers today. And maybe the subtitle explains that even better. It talks about reclaiming real friendship in a culture of confusion. And so welcome, and thank you for joining us this week for this conversation. It's been really helpful.
So glad to be here.
And I want to say that this resource is available, and we're happy to send it for a donation of any amount to help further this ministry to anyone who contacts us at reviveourhearts.com or at 1-800-569-5959. I call that number, visit our website, make a donation to this ministry, and we'll send you a copy of Kelly's book as our way of saying thank you for a donation to Revive Our Hearts this week. We've stirred up a little bit of a hornet's nest. Maybe that's not the right term, but there are questions that are surfacing even in the studio today, and that some of our listeners, I know, are thinking. And I think one of them is, what about, for example, the friendship of David and Jonathan in the Old Testament? We could do a whole program on this. That friendship has been really mischaracterized. Some people would say even today that that was an erotic or homosexual friendship. You actually have a whole section in the book that you've written about David and Jonathan, but people say, isn't that an example of a really committed, covenant, lifetime, loyal friendship? Is there a problem with that? Are they a good illustration? Give us just a synopsis of how we should think about David and Jonathan.
Well, I think they're actually a really great example of a healthy friendship, because you see their friendship form right after the David and Goliath moment in our Bibles. And so we see David have this great faith and even a sense of the kingdom of God is so important. Why is no one fighting this giant? You know, he's so young and he has just this passion for the name of God. And you see in Jonathan a sense of him looking and probably for the first time seeing someone who shares his passion for the kingdom of God. You know, Jonathan has had a moment very similar to that earlier in our Bible.
Where so that's really what brings them together.
Yes, they are united under this desire to see the kingdom of God advance in a day where there was a lot of complacency. And so they do cling to each other in the same way that when I find a friend who shares my passion for Christ, I go, you get it. You and me, we understand this.
You're speaking the same language. Yes. You're resonating with each other.
It's like meeting somebody at the well, the fountain of living waters. And when everyone around you is looking to other broken cisterns, broken things that cannot hold water, that cannot satisfy, and you meet that one other friend, you do cling to them. And that's good and healthy. And that's not what we're addressing in something being unhealthy. What becomes unhealthy is when those friends become ingrown and look to one another for what only Jesus can provide. And that's not what you see David and Jonathan doing. They did have a friendship that, you know, was just the two of them. But I think that likely had to do with who else did they have to bond with over their passion for the kingdom and the name of God. And you actually see them pushing one another for the benefit of one another, not near together. They don't, you know, run off together and go, let's leave Saul and this business of Israel behind and go be friends forever over here somewhere. That's not their main goal. Their main goal is God's kingdom. And so you actually see Jonathan and David parting from one another.
Yeah, sending each other away.
Sending each other away. And there's a lot of grief in that. And grief of friendships, you know, lost, and that change is a good thing, but they're not undone by that. They grieve the loss of that, you know, friendship for that season. But it's actually a really great friendship, and it's sad that people have distorted it to essentially become, you know, a biblical. People will use their friendship as biblical grounds for these unhealthy, ingrown, exclusive, dependent, idolatrous friendships.
I think we can tell one of the marks of idols in our lives, something meaning more to us, or we're looking to something to fill more of us than it can, is if it tempts us to sin to get it, to have sinful attitudes, sinful jealousies, to be petty, to be mean-spirited, to be critical if they don't meet our expectations. When we see words or attitudes coming out of ourselves, when our needs or expectations aren't quite being met, then we can say, okay, is there something I'm prizing more than I'm prizing Christ?
Yes.
Am I treasuring something or someone in this world that is not the ultimate treasure? Mm-hmm. And it can be a time for recalibrating or repentance and saying, look, I've been looking to things of this world to satisfy needs that only Christ can meet. That can be your husband, it can be your children, it can be your parents, it can be your friend, your roommate, your whatever. So we're saying, cherish godly and healthy friendships insofar as you help each other love Jesus more.
Yes.
But be careful about friendships that are self-focused, that are obsessive, that are possessive, that are exclusive, that rule others out, that are not inclusive of others, and then there's some warning signs there. So as we look at how to cultivate healthy friendships, we long for relationship. We're made for relationship.
Made for it,
So we have these longings. God put people around us. We're not saying, you know, go live in a convent somewhere and just you and Jesus for the rest of your life. You need people. So how do we redefine friendship and our needs in such a way that those friendships can become life-giving and healthy rather than stealing life?
Yes. You know, when you meet Jesus, when you go from being spiritually dead to alive, that changes everything about our lives. It totally recalibrates us for what is ultimately good in our lives. And that's true of friendship. And so for the Christian, for the one who's gone from death to life, Christ is the main aim of our life and his kingdom, and he is our greatest good. And so that changes what we need from friendship. And so our friends become people who we're saying, I need you. And I need you primarily to keep me tethered to Christ, because the world is like a current that just pulls us in the opposite direction. And so it takes all of us to link arms together and move toward him. And we also know as Christians, we're promised that we will suffer. And so it's not always sin. It's sometimes just suffering and hardship that is just heavy on us. And we can't weather that alone. We need the support, sometimes physical support. If you're suffering physically, you sometimes just can't even do life alone without the help of friends to come alongside you. I remember early in our marriage, we experienced multiple miscarriages. And so there was a season when I was on bed rest during one of my pregnancies, and Jimmy was on the road. And so I actually needed friends who could come over and bring me a meal and could take care of my dog and could do things for me. And they were there. That's a legitimate need that we have for community. And it's right for us to reach out and ask. And I also was grieving a lot then. And I remember being in our church's prayer room at one time, and a friend met me there. And I just was just sad. And she just put her arms around me, and we just cried together. And, you know, that grief just didn't feel quite as heavy and daunting when she was there with me in that moment. And that's good. Like, those are our right needs that we have. And they help us in that moment. You know, she's praying for me that Christ would comfort me. And so she's not pulling me away from Christ. Those friends aren't doing that.
You're really becoming a conduit of the comfort of Christ.
You are,
to
yes.
that friend.
Our friends are meant to become the hands and feet of Jesus to us at times, that they are the ones who are preaching the gospel to us when we've sinned and we need to confess sin to someone, and they can remind us the blood of Christ is sufficient for that, and they can retell us the good news we already know but need to hear and pray for us. And so these friendships are absolutely necessary for our lives, and that's why it's important for us to be in local churches.
Yeah,
because we're not meant to do life alone. And so that local church provides us structure in place for those friends to be there for us when we need them.
And that's really important reminder, because church is not intended just to be we go and park our bodies there for an
that's
hour
right.
on Sunday morning. We're supposed to be cultivating relationships.
Yes.
I think for me, one of the most important aspects of Roberts and my relationship in our local church is what we call aisle ministry.
Mm.
That's A-I-S-L-E. And it's who has God put in the aisle that we see before the service or after the service that may be needy. This past Sunday, it was an array of people with different kinds of needs that God just had us, you know, he was talking to some, I was talking to others. There's an older woman who's going through some really hard physical issue. There's another woman who just had triplets and like she needs nine hands or something to carry all these babies and the stuff. And so encouraging people, praying with them. You know, I had a pastor years ago who used to say the average church is like a bag of marbles, just clanging up against each other, but not really connecting with each other's lives. He said, we're supposed to be like a bag of grapes. We're smushed into each other's lives. We're doing life together.
Yes.
We're growing together. We're weeping together. We're rejoicing with those who rejoice. And out of that comes not, you know, an obsession with each other.
Right.
But the fruit, the juice, the sweetness, the life of Christ that flows through us more freely as we do life together.
Well, and I think that's a great point. And even just to remind us, friendships are not entirely meant to be just pragmatic. Oh, I need help today. I should call a friend. Our joy in Christ is multiplied when it is shared.
Yeah.
Shared joys are the best joys. And think about it in terms of anything. When you see a great movie, what do? You want to bring your friends. Come with me. Watch this movie. You go to a great restaurant, have an awesome meal. It's not as much fun when you're by yourself.
Sure.
You bring your friends because it just multiplies the joy. So I think God has built that into our lives to enjoy things most fully together. And in a real basic sense, that's what we're doing as Christians. We're coming together to enjoy all of God's good gifts, but Him primarily. And that joy is made most full in community. And so some of why we need our friends is just for joy's sake. It's just a good gift meant to be enjoyed and meant to multiply the joy that we have in Jesus.
I've often thought that a lot, not all, but a lot of depression, anxiety, fear, maybe even at times emotional or mental illness or struggles, some of that would look really different if we had healthy, godly friendships.
I agree.
There's a need for counselors, for wisdom that other people can bring into our lives. There may be a need at points for medications, for other treatments. But I think so much of the inner emotional, relational angst that people feel today with, it's amazing. We have so many people, so much social media, but we're so lonely. We're disconnected.
Yeah.
And you can't be friends with everybody. You know, you can't have 10,000 friends that you have on Instagram.
That's the Facebook lie.
the Facebook lie, right. We were just comparing notes about how Instagram was down recently and all of us thought it was just us, but we're frustrated because we can't connect. Well, those aren't our real friends.
That's right.
By and large. We need flesh and blood.
That's right.
People that we can look in each other's eyes, we can talk to, we can, you know, invest in each other's lives, encourage one another. And here's another aspect of friendship that you talk about that I think is really important. And that is sometimes when you have a good friendship, you have to say the hard things. What does Proverbs talk about? faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Wounds.
Talk about that for a minute, because that doesn't sound like something we're eager to have necessarily.
That's the part of friendship that no one really wants, because it's never fun. I had a friend, my friend Jessica is a super sweet friend, and there was a time we went to eat, and we just were catching up, and then we had this kind of awkward transition. She went to the bathroom and came back and sat down and essentially said, I need to talk to you about something. And her whole demeanor had changed, and I just knew.
Something's coming.
Oh, no. I'm bracing myself internally for this conversation. And I had no idea. I had no idea that anything was wrong. But essentially, she had shared with me that she had had her feelings hurt by some recent conversations we'd had. And she'd been in a hard season. She had shared a few things with me. And it was in a realm of study that I was currently studying the scriptures and learning, and I was excited to write about it. You know, I'm a very verbal processor. So here she had shared something going on in her life, and I essentially just gave her like a mini sermon at the time. And I wasn't thinking about it because she's such a good friend. I have my guard down, so I'm just talking. And it really shut her off, and that happened more than once. And she was starting to not look forward to our times together, which is how she knew I need to say something. And, you know, my conscience hadn't been awakened yet because I just was blind to that. I couldn't see it. And she had the courage and the gentleness.
It took courage.
Yes, it did. Well, I found out she went to the bathroom to, like,
to get the courage.
Get the courage. You know,
but
she's
how
so
much
nervous.
Easier would it be in a situation like that to just disconnect?
That's right.
Ignore it, move off, say, look, you know, we're not going to be friends.
That's what most people do, honestly.
But she pressed into it.
She pressed in because she valued me and valued our friendship. And she communicated that. And she essentially said, this friendship is important to me. And I wanted to, and she shared it with me very gently. I mean, she was aware that, you know, that would be hurtful. And she gave me specific examples. And as soon as she did, I could see it. I knew what moments she was talking about. And, you know, that has produced so much fruit in my life
mm-hmm.
and has just given me a better category for sometimes the best things my friends need is a listening ear. And as somebody who likes to teach what I'm learning, it was a good thing for me to
lead
be
with
wounded
compassion
in that way. Yes. And I think about it a lot when I'm with somebody new and they might be sharing a struggle they're in, and I'm thinking, oh, I've been studying that. Like, I want to tell them. And I have a check in my spirit from our conversation to just pray and say, God, is that what this person needs today? Is mm-hmm. for me to teach them all the things I know about that topic in the Bible? Maybe not. Maybe I just need to listen.
Yeah.
And I just need to go, let's go grab coffee and do something fun. And maybe we just need something lighthearted. And man, now I trust our friendship even more because I know I don't have to guess with her. If something's wrong, she'll tell me. So it built trust in our friendship. I grew. She helped me become a better friend to her and to other people. And that's a faithful wound from a friend. And we all are going to face moments where we're the ones needing to receive that or yeah. we're the ones who might need to say that to foster unity in our communities and in our friendships.
And that's what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, where he's talking about unity
yes.
in the body. And as part yes. of that, he says, don't lie to one another.
Right.
Thinking, well, I don't lie. Well, how often do we really
right.
lie in friendships by not,
that's
you
right.
know, we're harboring something, we're nursing some hurt or wound in our heart, or we see something in that person's life that we know is making them mm-hmm. less effective, but I had a friend who used to say, he's now with the Lord, but he would say, the last guy to know he's got a rip in his jacket is the
yeah.
guy who's got it on.
That's right.
We call them blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Paul say in Ephesians 4? Don't lie to one another. Mm-hmm. Instead, speak the truth
in love. That's right. And that's part of, I think, the function of our communities is we all have those blind spots. And so we all need one another. And that should actually make us feel safer. You know, if I have spinach in my teeth, my good friends are going to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel more comfortable with them. And I hope that I would have the courage to do the same. And when we're hurt, the same thing. Maybe it's not a blind spot. Maybe it's actual sin, willful sin against one another, and that we would have the courage to speak up about that and say, you know, that really hurt my feelings, and I want to talk to you about it because I value our friendship. Like, that's how you value friendship, is you go there and you fight for reconciliation. And Jesus is for reconciliation in the body and for unity, but part of how unity gets there is through these moments. In fact, I think, you know, conflict, I often feel like is like the immune system of the body of Christ, that when sin creeps up in our lives and in our hearts or in our relationships, you know, these moments of speaking the truth in love, of going to the tension, of having these, you know, these moments where we're faithfully wounding one another, it's getting the infection out. It's dealing with the sin and creating a more healthy body of
and
Christ.
Not just in our own relationship with that person, but it may be affecting their relationship with others,
mm-hmm.
which brings up Galatians 6:1.
Mm-hmm.
If you see someone caught in a transgression,
mm-hmm.
They may know they're there. They may not know they're there. But you see this. You who are spiritual should restore him. That's the goal. We're not trying to knock that person out or down or, you know, get rid of them. We're trying to restore them to set a bone that's been broken is the concept there, in a spirit of gentleness.
That's right.
And this morning, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Because the very things we're so quick to see in other people's lives often are the very things that we're blind to in our own lives. So what's he say? First, get the log out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to help get the speck out of your brother's eye. We need each other. And that's a hard part of friendship, but really, really important.
Really necessary, really important. And if somebody might be listening going, well, there's a conversation that I know I need to have, and we have just made it unavoidable for you because we're talking about it. And to take courage and take heart that that's true love for somebody when you are willing to do that, because you're sacrificing your own comfort and your present comfort to love somebody else in a way that at, in the moment, they're probably not going to be happy with you. It's hard for any of us to hear that. And so you're really sacrificially loving somebody else. And that's helped me to enter into those moments to go, I want to be a sacrificial, loving person like Christ was for me. So I will sacrifice my comfort. Jesus, help me in that moment. You know, it puts us on our knees when we have to go into that, which again, like you've said, is such a blessing to cause us to need Jesus. And it causes us to, you know, humble ourselves and know.
And if you're on the receiving end of that, remember, faithful are the wounds of a friend. This is an expression of God's love for me and his friendship. Okay, before we go, I want to just touch on something that you give a whole chapter to in your book called Friendish. It's the last chapter, and it's thinking about our friendships in the context of the long range, the eternal. Just talk about that for a moment.
Well, you know, the world wants best friends forever. We want something that's secure for eternity. And for us who are in Christ, that's already been purchased. That you and me, Nancy, we have forever together.
That's right.
And any friend of mine that has treasured Jesus with me, even if I no longer talk to them because our seasons have changed, I miss those friends and I sometimes long for them, and I can remind my heart, oh, I have forever with that person to catch up on everything I missed in their life and to celebrate with them. And so it gives me actually the ability to let friendships go in seasons where things are changing and I'm having to embrace my limitations in a new city or as a mom. But it also reminds me, well, then what am I here for? You know, we're not home yet into that place where we can enjoy that uninhibited fellowship with Christ and one another. So why am I here? And it reminds us that we are exiles still in this land. This isn't home. And we are on mission for Christ and his kingdom. And we have this good news within us. You know, the light of Christ has been put in us, and we're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we are here to continue proclaiming that gospel truth to people so that more and more might come in and enjoy him.
I think that gives an intentionality to our friendships.
Yes.
That we're not just lollygagging through life together.
Yes.
There is purpose. There's meaning. And it doesn't mean we don't sit down and just do relaxing, fun things. But to see our friendships not as mindless or needless or unending socializing, but there's a purpose to them.
Yes. And you know, with the same purpose we saw in Jonathan and David, right? They're for the kingdom of God, and they unite together for that reason. And I think, you know, as social media is growing, it's expanding our ability to stay connected with more and more people. And I think at one level, right? And I think it puts pressure on people, especially, you know, younger people. We spend a lot of time with college students, and they feel this pressure to keep up with everybody at the same level. And so I'll talk to them sometimes after our small group, and the things that they'll list to me are like, oh, well, I need to have coffee with this friend, and I need to catch up with this one. And it's out of a good place. They're wanting to keep up with these friendships, but you know, if that's the goal, then you could spend your whole life 24/7 just catching up with all of your friends.
And still not do it all.
And still not get it. And that's not the reason that we're still here. That's not the mission that Jesus has given us to do. We do need friends. We need community. But that's not our goal. We have that built in forever. And so we get to link arms, not just to become ingrown and be about one another in our own relationships. We get to link arms for a common goal to move forward the kingdom of God as much as we're able, to be faithful stewards and servants of Christ in this life. And good friendships make that journey doable. They make that journey enjoyable, and they make it fun and sustainable. But those friendships are not the goal. It's just, let me keep up with all my friends all day. They're for a purpose. And I think thinking on eternity, reminding ourselves of the promises of eternity, can help us and give us wisdom in how to shift through every season of life when our friendships have to change. We can remind our hearts we have that built in for us already, those forever friendships. And it's just not for now. And so then, Lord, what is my season right now? What is important? You know, what would he have me be doing right now? And so what should my friendships look like in light of that?
I'm thinking as you're talking, Kelly, about that classic Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan.
Yeah.
And the pilgrim, his name is Christian in that telling, is headed toward the celestial city. There are moments when he has to walk by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And God does put us in seasons where we may be, for whatever reason, more isolated. But generally on that journey, he has friends with him. Now, sometimes they aren't really helpful friends.
Right.
Sometimes they're pulling him away from the truth, trying to pull him the wrong direction. But he has those few friends. They have names like Faithful and Hopeful.
Yeah.
And he gets to the finish line, goes over the river to the celestial city with that friend, Hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And when Christian feels like his feet are slipping, like he can't do this, like he's not going to make it, you know, Hopeful says to him, if I'm remembering this correctly, be encouraged, friend. I have felt the bottom.
I feel the bottom.
We're gonna make this together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do for each other. We're heading together toward the presence of Christ forever.
Yes.
And home with him forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage each other. We take each other by the hand. We pull each other out of some of those places we fall into. And then somebody else pulls us out of the place we've fallen into, or where our hearts got tempted. Or this is what friendship can do, but always headed toward that celestial city and doing it together with friends that we will spend eternity with in heaven. So thank you for writing a really helpful, practical book. There's lots more that we haven't talked about. You have a section on how unhealthy friendships can even lead to same-sex attraction and what to do with some of that, some of the pitfalls, some of the other aspects of healthy friendships. That chart at the back about healthy versus unhealthy friendships, that's a really helpful tool. So I want to encourage our listeners at different seasons of life, even if you're not in an unhealthy friendship, you know people who are, and you're vulnerable to it. We all are.
We all are,
So this is something worth reading because we want to reclaim, in this culture of confusion, we want to reclaim true, real, godly friendship for God's glory. So thank you, Kelly, for being my friend. Thank you for being a friend of Revive Our Hearts. And thank you for encouraging our hearts this week.
That's our host, Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, in conversation with Kelly Needham. Again, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts, we'll send you a copy of Kelly's book. Just ask for it when you visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Have a safe and enjoyable Labor Day weekend and join us on Monday. That's when Jen Wilkin will help us understand the hows and the whys of being women of the Word. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth wants to help you be a conduit of the comfort of Christ. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.